Hello, and welcome to Us and Tomorrow, the podcast where we explore the intersection of humanity and a future that's already unfolding around us. I am your host, Belinda Chen, and today we are diving into a topic that once lived exclusively in the realm of science fiction, but is increasingly becoming our present reality: cyborgs. When you hear the word cyborg, what comes to mind? Perhaps it's the menacing figure of the Terminator or the enhanced humans in films like Ghost in the Shell, but the reality of cyborg technology is both more subtle and more profound than Hollywood's depictions. Today, we'll explore what it means to be a cyborg in 2025, meet some real-life cyborgs who are redefining what it means to be human, and consider the ethical questions that arise when the boundaries between human and machine begin to blur. Let's start with a definition. The term cyborg was coined in the 1960s as a combination of cybernetic and organism. In its simplest form, a cyborg is a being with both organic and robotic body parts. That's right, by this definition, many of us already know or may even be cyborgs. People with pacemakers or even advanced prosthetics could be considered cyborgs, as they integrate technology with their biological systems to enhance or restore functionality. But the frontier of cyborg technology extends far beyond these now familiar medical interventions. Today, researchers and pioneers are pushing the boundaries of what's possible when humanity and technology merge. In recent years, we've witnessed extraordinary advancements in neural interfaces, technologies that create direct communication pathways between the brain and external devices. Perhaps the most high-profile example is Neuralink, founded by Elon Musk, which in early 2024 implanted its first brain chip in a human patient. This technology allows direct brain-to-computer communication, which can potentially restore autonomy to people with severe neurological conditions. But what might surprise you is that this is just one example in a rapidly expanding field. Brain-computer interfaces, or BCIs, come in various forms, from invasive devices surgically implanted into the brain to non-invasive external headsets that can read neural signals. These technologies are opening up possibilities that sound like they are straight out of science fiction. Controlling computers with thoughts, restoring movements to paralyzed limbs, and even enhancing cognitive abilities, which are, of course, left to debate. To truly understand the impact of cyborg technology, we need to meet some of the real-life cyborgs who are already living among us. Let me introduce you to a few remarkable individuals. First, there's Neil Harbison, often described as the world's first legally recognized cyborg, because he was born with achromatopsia, which is a rare condition that meant he could only see in grayscale. Harbison has an antenna implanted in his skull that allows him to hear colors. The antenna translates colors into vibrations that his brain has learned to interpret as sound, effectively giving him a sense that he was born without. But Harbison didn't stop at the visible spectrum. His antenna can also detect ultraviolet and infrared wavelengths, which granted him perceptual abilities beyond what typical humans experience. Then there's Dr. Peter Scott Morgan, who was diagnosed with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis in 2017. Rather than accepting the limitations this degenerative disease would place on his body, Scott Morgan embarked on an ambitious project to become what he called a human cyborg. Before his death in 2022, he underwent a series of procedures which allowed him to use a synthetic voice clone of his own voice through a computer. He also used eye-tracking technology to control computers and various robotics to maintain his independence. Scott Morgan's journey poses profound questions about how technology might help us to transcend the limitations of our bodies. As these technologies continue to develop, we find ourselves facing complex ethical questions. Who should have access to these enhancements? Could they create new forms of inequality between the enhanced and the unenhanced? What happens to our concept of humanity when our bodies integrate increasingly with technology? Donna Haraway, a prominent feminist philosopher, addressed some of these questions in her influential 1985 essay, A Cyborg Manifesto. Haraway used the cyborg as a metaphor to challenge traditional boundaries, not just between human and machine, but also between nature and culture, physical and non-physical. For Haraway, the cyborg represents a way to move beyond restrictive dualisms that have shaped Western thought. She wrote, "A cyborg is a cybernetic organism, a hybrid of machine and organism, a creature of social reality, as well as a creature of fiction." This framing invites us to consider how technology doesn't just alter our physical capabilities, but also transforms our identities and social relationships. The questions surrounding cyborg technology extend beyond the philosophical to the practical and political. As these technologies develop, who controls them matters enormously. Will neural interfaces and other cyborg technologies be democratically accessible, or will they become luxury items that further entrench existing inequalities? There are also significant security concerns. As we integrate technology into our bodies, we potentially expose ourselves to new vulnerabilities. Could a hacked neural implant compromise not just your data, but your very thoughts or physical movements? These are not abstract concerns, but pressing questions that technologists, ethicists, and policymakers are grappling with right now. I want to take a moment to consider where this technology might take us in the coming decades. The rate of advancement in neural interfaces, artificial organs, and augmented sensory devices suggests that what seems cutting edge today will likely seem primitive tomorrow. Imagine a future where neural interfaces are as common as smartphones, where enhanced cognition becomes the norm rather than the exception, where our senses can be augmented to perceive aspects of reality currently beyond our reach. Some researchers even speculate about the possibility of achieving a form of digital immortality by uploading consciousness into computer systems, though this remains firmly in the realm of speculation rather than near-term possibility. These visions of the future raise profound questions about what it means to be human. If our memories, thoughts, and even consciousness can be digitalized or enhanced by technology, what remains of our essential humanity? Is there something irreducibly human that can never be replicated or enhanced by technology? Or will the distinction between human and machine eventually become meaningless? As we consider these questions, I am reminded of something the cyborg artist Neil Harbison once said. "I don't feel I am using technology. I don't feel I am wearing technology. I feel I am technology." This perspective challenges us to reconsider our relationship with technology not as something external, like exoskeletons that we use, but potentially as something that becomes integrated with our very being. Perhaps the most important question isn't whether we will become cyborgs. In many ways, that process is already underway and is rather inevitable. But what kind of cyborgs we want to be? Will we use these technologies to overcome limitations, to heal, to connect more deeply with each other and our world? Or will we allow them to further divide us, to reinforce existing power structures, and to distance us from our humanity? The choices we make now, as individuals and as a society, will shape the answers to these questions. And that's why conversations like this one are so important. Before we wrap up today's episode, I'd like to share a thought experiment. Take a moment to consider, what aspect of human limitation would you most want to overcome with technology? Would you enhance your memory, extend your lifespan, add new senses, or perhaps you wouldn't choose enhancement at all, preferring to remain fully human in the traditional sense. There are no right or wrong answers to these questions, but by engaging with them thoughtfully, we prepare ourselves to navigate the increasingly cyborg future that awaits us. Not as passive recipients of technology, but as active participants in shaping what it means to be human in the age of the cyborg. That's all for the episode of Us and Tomorrow. I am Belinda Chen, and I hope our exploration of cyborgs has given you something to think about. Remember, the future isn't something that just happens to us. It's something we create together, choice by choice, day by day. Join me next time as we continue to explore the technologies and ideas that are shaping our tomorrow. Until then, stay curious, stay thoughtful, and stay human, whatever that might come to mean.